flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hurricane Hotline. A lot of football news over the past week or so, starting with stuff out of the ACC and perhaps changing the way that they finish up their regular season and into the championship game. Alex Dono, who hosts the Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast. He's also our football postgame show host here on QAM. He joined me this morning. Again, a lot of stuff to get to here in the football side of things for the University of Miami. Dono, no shortage of news for you here these past few days as we have the national championship game come and go. Before we jump in, I was just curious your thoughts on, I didn't get to talk to you yesterday, just your thoughts on the national championship game, Notre Dame and Ohio State. Ohio State wins it, and they seem like certainly a worthy champion that has emerged out of this playoff I don't call it a mess, but whatever it was, Dono, I know we had some good games, we had some bad games. Everyone's got an opinion on what they saw through the playoffs. But first, before we get to that big picture opinion, just your thoughts on what you saw from the championship game.
Well, envy that Ohio State has Jeremiah Smith and Miami doesn't is one of those big ones that crosses my mind. You know, he had that massive catch on that 3rd and 11 and just had an unbelievable freshman season. That was one that unfortunately got away from us in South Florida. The guy looks like probably a future Pro Football Hall of Famer, if I get a little bit ahead of myself on that one. But yeah, I mean, to echo what you said, worthy champion for Ohio State. Like, there's no doubt for basically the last month and a half, they have been the best team in college football by a country mile. And that comes despite the fact they lost their final regular season game against Michigan. And doesn't seem to matter how good Ohio State is or how bad Michigan is. Ryan Day is always going to lose to Michigan. It's just one of those things. But for them to, you know, 7 weeks ago was when that game was played and lost. And, you know, you go from the narrative of, hey, can't beat Michigan. Maybe Ryan Day needs to be fired. Ohio State can't get out of their own way. And then they have this incredible playoff run. You know, so they were able to bounce back from that Michigan loss. You know, they also, early in the regular season, their other loss was to Oregon, and they had the opportunity to avenge that loss, which was huge for them. And yeah, there's no question that that's the best team. And Will Howard had by far his best collegiate game in the national championship game. So that's, you know, huge for his resume. And, you know, Notre Dame found a way to make the game interesting because at halftime that looked like it was going to be a blowout, but they tried to mount the comeback. So it ended up being a better game than I thought it was going to be. But then at the end of the day, Ohio State still wins by double digits like they were supposed to. And, man, it was I thought the 12-team playoff was good, actually. And I know that, yeah, there were some blowouts, but people act as if that's a unique college football thing. Like, oh, see, they expanded to 12 teams and there are a bunch of blowouts. I mean, Hollywood wild card weekend in the NFL. How brutal was that? It was blowout city left and right. Like, let's not pretend that this is just something that happens in a 12-team college football playoff. Not every playoff makes for great matchups every game.
Yeah, well said. And you know, I know in the name of money, we need to get the best possible matchups that we can get, right? And you know, everyone runs at the opportunity to start changing things and how the teams are seated. And you know, it's not fair who gets in. It's not fair that the conference champions, you know, get vaulted up and all this stuff. And yeah, there's just such a rush to change everything. When, you know what? Yeah, nothing guarantees you're going to get good matchups. And you had two teams, again, that, like you said, certainly deserved to be in that championship game. They won all their games and deserved to be there. And for a long time in that game, you did not get a very competitive game. And Notre Dame, you know, made their push at the end. But Ohio State was clearly the better team, and they ended up as a deserving champion. But, I mean, do you... Before we get to the ACC trying to make changes, do you make changes right now to the playoff format the way that it is?
I think a change that seems reasonable to me would be to not guarantee top four seeds to conference champions, which kind of I think if anything, you have your top 12, seed them the way that they're ranked. Instead of, because they do this thing where, okay, here's your top 12, but like the three seed is not really the number three is not the three seed because we have to elevate a conference champion. And to me, I would adjust the seeding a little bit because that probably helped create some of the matchups. And like Arizona State being a top four team that got a first round bye didn't really make a whole lot of sense, but it only made sense because of the conference champion model. So like, I don't really have a problem with like necessarily, obviously as a Miami fan, I wish my team had gotten in. We didn't. That's on us. All we had to do was, you know, protect a 21 point lead against Syracuse. We would have been in the college football playoffs. So, but I think the way that they rank it was okay, but to make the seeding a little bit more simple to me would make sense.
Well, you mentioned the Hurricanes getting in, and they obviously did not, Dono. So the ACC, they are looking at making some changes as well as I guess, Donna, the goal here, right, is to make sure that the ACC gets two teams into this thing. I assume that that's the idea here, but I don't even know, can you do these things that they're talking about doing here? They want to perhaps give the regular season champion a bye, have the teams that finish second or third in the league standings playing the ACC championship game. Can you even do that? Like, is that okay? Do you have to get that approved? Like, how would that work?
It's such a stupid idea. And it's like, to be fair, it seemed like the ACC commissioner, like he's kind of spitballing. Like he's not saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, but this is something we're considering. So the idea behind that, which I don't like that idea whatsoever, but the idea behind it was, you know, we all remember that SMU, they were the top regular season team in the ACC this year, but they lost to Clemson in the ACC championship game, and they had to sweat it out. You know, people didn't know, are the committee, are they going to put them in, are they not? So the thought was, hey, SMU had actually more to lose by playing in the ACC championship than they had to gain. So I think the idea from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips is, let's just the team that wins the ACC regular season, so they don't have to worry about, hey, could I actually hurt myself more than help myself by playing in the championship game? Let's just let them sit the championship game out, and we'll have number two versus number three for, like you said, the opportunity to then get a second team in the college football playoff. To answer your question, can they do it? Yeah, the ACC can do whatever they want to. They can do whatever they want to decide how they crown a champion. But on the flip side of that, I don't think the college football playoff committee is obligated to respect that. Like, right, the ACC can say, hey, we're going to have our championship game. It's going to be second place versus third place. So the college football playoff committee doesn't say, okay, so we're definitely going to take two. They could still decide, no, we're only going to take the one out of those, you know, three teams which we feel is most deserving to get in. And also, my thing is, either have an ACC championship game or don't. Like, the idea of making it a two versus three, because listen, there is not an obligation to have a championship game. If you feel like having an ACC championship game is going to put your top team at too much risk, just say, hey, the regular season champion is the champion. Like the idea of matching up two versus three, like it seems
a second
like
place game.
Yeah, it seems like you're
cheapens the game, right? It cheapens your conference championship game.
Yeah, and it's like it absolutely cheapens.
That's a prime
time
game. That's on that championship Saturday, right? It's usually the game is usually in the evening in prime time. That's kind of the showcase game for your conference. I agree with you completely. I don't want to cheapen that game and turn it into some consolation prize type game. And then, I also agree with you that, like, are you just going to say that the regular season champion is the overall champion and please let in the winner of this, second place game? There was another thing that they floated, Dono, having the top four teams play on the final weekend of the regular season, first against fourth, second against third, with the winners playing the following weekend in the ACC championship game. And goes back to, let's just add as many possible games as we can, right? And then, run these guys into the ground, play the full NFL season, and see how it goes. But I at what point, like, again, is enough enough? Like, there's a lot of games for these kids to play. If you're playing an extra game for the championship just to begin with, so you want to add two more now?
Yeah, well, and actually, I had thought the same thing that you did, but somebody pointed out to me that they're actually taking away, so they're not technically adding a game, but they're taking the top four teams out of their end season matchup and just reshuffling it and saying, okay, we're going to have one versus four and two versus three.
So you're going to end the regular season early, regardless of like who the teams are. How do you do something like that, though?
Which I don't know how you can do that. And again, and the final week of the regular season, that's rivalry week. Like that's the week you always have, Florida State versus Florida, NC State, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. So it's like, I don't know. You're like revolutionizing the way you would do a schedule.
Yeah,
I don't know how you could just take a team out of like, oh, we were scheduled to play Boston College the final week of the season, but now we're going to unschedule. I don't know how. It seems like a lot of moving parts. I don't know how you would do. Yeah. Actually, I like that idea at face value better than the other idea. But this one seems to be a lot more logistically challenging.
Yeah, how do you do that? Like, let's say Miami's supposed to play Boston College, and Boston College fans have bought their tickets to come down here to play Miami, and Miami gets into the top four. Now it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you guys are going to be playing North Carolina. So do they have to all shuffle on the last second and try to change it? That doesn't seem very.
Yeah,
conference will handle it. They'll refund everyone's plane tickets and they'll actually switch your plane tickets
and hotel
for you. You just call the conference office. They'll take care of the entire thing for you. So Dono, I don't know. I don't get any of this stuff. I think things are okay the way that they are. They got their two teams in. I don't think you need to change anything. I do think that as far as these conference championship games go, I do think it is tough to penalize teams for losing those games because they are playing an extra game. And I don't think you should move up the standings if you're just sitting at home. Right, I think that's the other issue.
Well, and I think, like you said, the ACC did get their two teams in. So the playoff committee already did set that precedent that we're not going to penalize SMU for losing in the championship game. But apparently the ACC doesn't entirely believe them that precedent is going to stand moving forward, because we saw what happened after the committee made their final verdict. We had all of the Kirk Herbstreets and the Paul Feinbaum's lobbying. Oh no, Alabama should have been in, and this team, that team, the Alabama, by the way, who lost to a not very good Michigan team in their bowl game after all that. And the SEC did not have a good, or at least the SEC teams that had been, they thought, snubbed, all ended up losing their bowl games anyway, for what that's worth. To your point, I think the playoff committee did say, they did make the statement, we didn't penalize SMU for losing that championship game. Hopefully they stick to that precedent moving forward, because I agree with you. I'm okay with the conference championship format the way it is right now. I don't think they have to change it.
Well, one format that seems to change every day is this whole NIL and transfer portal thing. And we have a new one here, Donna. We haven't seen this one yet. Xavier Lucas, who is trying to transfer from Wisconsin. And right now there are accusations of tampering. There are accusations basically by Wisconsin saying that he is under a contract. Dono, he is under a binding 2-year NIL agreement, which unfortunately for Wisconsin and the Big Ten, you can't sign, right? I mean, you just can't. Those don't exist at this moment because they the players are not employees of the school right now. I just think, and my thoughts even before talking to Darren Heitner about this, Dono, were that this is a really bad look for Wisconsin and the Big Ten, right? You got a player, Lucas, who just finished his freshman season. He's a good player. He had 12 tackles, 2 passes deflected, and a pick, right? So it's not like he was a world beater up there for Wisconsin. Again, he's a player that has a good upward trajectory here. He could be a very good player. He's from Pompano Beach. He wants to come back down here. He wants to play down here. And I don't know what Wisconsin's end game in this is. Are they trying to scare the kid and force him to stay? Are they actually going to sue him and be the first team to actually sue a 19-year-old kid? Like, is that what they want to do? To me, Wisconsin would have been much better served just letting this go and not going after this, because this is happening everywhere and it's going to continue to happen everywhere as long as there's no rules. But what a bad look here for Wisconsin and the Big Ten is to keep crying over this thing.
Yeah, I think it's a really bad look. And for the most part, the only people really defending Wisconsin are obviously Wisconsin fans. And I think there's a certain amount of like really old school college football fans who still like they try to look at players as if they should have no power whatsoever, which I think we've moved beyond that era. To answer your question onto what Wisconsin's end game is, I can only guess. But I feel, especially seeing the Big Ten, who also made a statement. So you referred to that NIL agreement that Wisconsin claims it's binding. They contend it's a binding agreement. Xavier Lucas and his attorney, Darren Heitner, contend that it's not and it can't be a binding agreement. But I think Wisconsin and the Big Ten want to try to protect the strength and the validity of those agreements that they're now having players sign, because this is actually a Big Ten template document that a lot of their schools are now using to sign players for, theoretically, you're stuck with us for 2 years, or at least we own your NIL rights for 2 years. But like you mentioned, Hollywood, the premise of these agreements, it's based on the House versus NCAA settlement, which is going to create revenue sharing, but that can't pass for another 2.5 months. Like, the House versus NCAA settlement, the earliest it can be passed, and it may not even happen on that date, but April 7th is the earliest that agreement can come into effect. So the idea that already, and going back to December is when they had Lucas sign that agreement, that they're already trying to bind players into an agreement for something that hasn't passed yet, to me, if Lucas were to sign that document, 3 months from now, then I think Wisconsin would maybe have a better argument to keep him locked in. But I don't know how you can argue that when, Darren Heitner refers to it not as a binding contract, but as an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, which cannot be legally binding, until payment has taken place, and payment under that agreement has not taken place. So it looks incredibly petty on Wisconsin's side. I mean, maybe, they also clearly seem to feel like they were, tampered with by Miami. And I asked Heitner about that. Like, do they really have anything? And to his understanding, what they have or what they think they have is mostly hearsay, and it would be like very hard to actually prove. Mm-hmm. And guys, like, we know that, what might resemble tampering, it happens all over. I mean, Miami had one of their top receivers from this past season, Isaiah Horton. How is Isaiah Horton getting crystal balled to Alabama before he was officially in the transfer portal? Like, that, it sounds to me like some form of tampering was taking place. And I'm not complaining about it. It's the reality of college football, because if a player wants to be somewhere else, they're going to find a way to do that, right? That if you feel like Miami allegedly tampered, and I think a lot of the ways that this stuff goes down is usually through intermediaries, so it's not technically tampering. Like, there are ways around this. Like, my people will reach out to your people, or a lot of times players will talk. And listen, I'm sure, Lucas, being an American Heritage guy, South Floridian, has you know, friends on the team. He's obviously aware of what Miami has to offer. He was recruited by Miami, and Heitner talked to me and to you guys about how careful Miami was to make sure that they were doing this by the book and that no tampering was taking place. So, you know, I don't know. I think Wisconsin might be using the tampering thing more as like either a scare tactic or more to kind of rile up their fan base, because their fan, I hear from Wisconsin fans every single day, fellas, based on the content that I put out there over the past few days. I hear from Wisconsin fans, and usually their argument is, you know, they attack Xavier Lucas's integrity for not, you know, not sticking with Wisconsin, and they attack, oh, Miami is this dirty program. That's usually where they go. And I think Wisconsin really wants to play that stuff up to try to make themselves look better in the court of public opinion.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.